better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is going to bring back a College World Series title to Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
What we've been talking about is what you expected. Yes, the final score, the outcome is what most people expected. But I'll say that, you know, I'm just getting this vibe, Tommy, that, again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe because, you know, it's not like my spidey sense is always working. But I just get this vibe with the way that the games are going, the fans and, you know, them not really showing up to the games. Which, again, I don't blame any of you. I'm not hating. I'm not one of these people that's going to come after the fans. I don't blame any of you.
Now, you were there.
That's right.
There was 54,600 whatever on the box score.
No.
How many were really there?
Man, I'd say.
Because there was about the middle 2.5 sections, 2 to 3 sections in the upper deck you could see on TV were 80% full. And then the ends on the home side were not full. You could see the visiting side in the press box. Nobody was up there.
Nobody.
So, I mean, I know it's hard to estimate a crowd. This north end zone, I don't think, other than the suites, it doesn't appear they've sold a ticket in that thing. I mean, you can physically count the people in that thing.
I think it's not even ever been
the
close to being
seats.
Full at any point since it's been built in the past year.
The north
and a half.
End zone?
Yeah,
the outside seats. I think the suites are full, but what they call them, the loge seats or whatever.
Sure.
There's like 4,000 of them. There's like hundreds of people there.
Yeah. I would have said there's probably 30.
It looked like more than 35. That on TV, but it's hard to tell when they're panning a crowd on TV.
Yeah, how do you really know?
I don't know.
I just know that it was probably I know that as far as the number that you gave, that was the lowest amount attended at an SEC game.
And I'm sure that's tickets sold.
Right.
They've given up on ticket scan. They're not even printing that and putting that in the
Here's a good comparison. Do you remember that, I believe it was in 2015, the Missouri game? I don't know if you went to that one in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. When Missouri was awful.
It was raining, and it was just miserable cold.
It's like the worst, where it's
38 degrees and rainy. It's just almost sleet, but it's not.
Yeah, not cold enough to be snow. Right. Yeah. Okay, that game, it was less than that many, that crowd.
Yeah.
So, no students were there.
I saw that. Where no students were there. Nothing above the band, and about half of the next section over.
Yeah, and that's, again, just all those elements being added into it, Tommy's why I feel like, and get the vibe, that end, man.
Listen, this is the only way the fans can say their piece, and the university has to listen.
Yeah,
I mean, we're here as a conduit to the fans, and we are accountable to you, the fans out there. This is your show. This is where we all get to voice and vent together. But if you want your voice to be heard by Hunter Yurecek and the administration at the university, the only way you have to do that is to not show up and to not give money. And eventually that gets through to them. Because at the end of the day, whether we want to realize it or recognize it, it's a business. And when revenue's not coming in, changes must be made.
Mm-hmm. And I know that the home schedule at least gets a little more fun next year as far as the teams coming in than it was this season.
Yeah, but here's the thing, John. I thought there'd be a better crowd. I thought there'd be like 50,000 there. I know they announced 54, but there wasn't that many there. Because if you bought tickets for this year, if you invested that money, you had to go to this one because this was the best game on the schedule. So think about all the people that have invested their money. What games have they been to?
I think, the fact that they invested their money is like they can't take that back, but they don't want to invest their time. Mm-hmm. That's their thing.
And that's exactly right.
They don't want to have to give up an entire Saturday, which was a beautiful Saturday, to go and watch this team and watch these games.
They're like me. They stayed home and watched.
Yeah, if they even watched it in a lot of cases, because maybe they followed it on Twitter. I don't know. But what I do know is that when you start seeing the crowds that small, and I felt bad for Darren McFadden. Good grief. He's going through that hog walk, and there's not many fans out there. And
some of that's 8:30 in the morning.
Well, which I totally get to, but it's just a matter of you see that, and then the crowd's not there, and it's just, I think it's all bad. It's all bad surrounding it, and but let without me ask, an end in sight.
Let me ask you this, and let's forget comparing to Alabama and Auburn, LSU. Let's just say Ole Miss or Mississippi State, even in the condition they're in right now, had their greatest player of all time. Who would be Ole Miss's? Archie Manning, obviously,
or Eli. Something like that,
Obviously, probably in recent times, Dak Prescott would be the greatest player at Mississippi State.
For sure.
If they had their Bulldog walk or their Rebel walk or whatever they have, and it was an 11 a.m. game, they probably have a bigger crowd than that.
100%.
Than Arkansas had. So that,
100%.
You know, that just tells you the mood of the fans right now, that you don't have an overwhelming fan base show up for Darren McFadden, the greatest Razorback of our lifetime. When he's being honored.
Yep. And listen,
that just tells you, because it's not about DMAC. It's about the frustration with this situation.
Yeah. And again.
And it's not about just this year. It's about the last six or seven.
I got to give a shout out to the marketing department, the administration, whoever's involved, where they're just trying, man. They're trying. Yeah. They're trying to do things
they're
to get people there.
Hogtown, all that stuff.
They're trying. So I got to give a shout out to them because I know it cannot be easy during this time. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Stanley is in Glenwood. What's going on, Stanley?
Hey, good morning, John. Three quick questions.
Right.
He started Hicks for, I can understand he's starting Hicks because the offensive line cannot block, but also he started Hicks because he figured he wanted to win the game. Number two, when does he stop wanting to win the game and play for the future? Number three, when does he go to Hunter Yurecek and say, hey, if you don't come out and back me, recruiting is going to go, there's not going to be no recruiting. And number four, don't you start KJ the last four games? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, appreciate your phone call, Stanley, as always. We'll try to track through your questions here. As far as Hicks starting and starting the entire game, with you mentioned the offensive line. And listen, there was no doubt that over the past few weeks that Ben Hicks was performing better than what Nick Starkel mm-hmm. was. Now, Nick Starkel, you've seen some arm talent. You've seen some nice moments from him. But there was no doubt that in the Kentucky game especially and in the Texas A&M game, that Hicks was performing right. better. So I get that and starting him. Now playing him the whole time. Now, this is where this everyone has their own opinion on this. And I get where you were saying from is like, you know, you're in Chad Morris. Hey, you don't want to throw in a guy in a bad situation late in the game.
Well, that's what Morris said. That's not necessarily what I agree
with.
Well,
no, I'm just saying that you mentioned it, I should have said. But to me, though, it's like, but okay, so if you don't do it then, what situation would call for you to make a change like that?
Here's my problem with the whole mismanagement, my estimate, of the quarterback situation. You put Ben Hicks in, and you make him the starter. Okay, he's been playing better. No issue there.
None.
But he's not playing overwhelmingly better than Starkel, and we haven't seen anybody else. I can't tell if he's playing better than John Stephen Jones or K.J. Jefferson, because we haven't seen those guys. Fair. K.J. Jefferson, if he plays in anything past the fourth game, that's nuts. John Stephen Jones, what do you have to lose at this point? He's probably not the guy that could run you out to a win, though. But what are you building for? Hicks is done. There's five more games, and his eligibility is up. At least Starkel has another year. At least you could be playing him right now to fix some things for the future, because he's going to be an option next year, whether you like it or not. Unless things change dramatically, and they may, he's going to be on your roster and be in your quarterback room. Ben Hicks won't be. So why wouldn't you play these guys that you're going to be depending on in some way, shape, or form in a season from now?
Yeah.
That's the part that I cannot get, even at 51-10. Even in that fourth quarter where, you know, Auburn had scored a couple touchdowns and had gotten away from you, let Starkel come in and see if... And the only thing I can come away with from that, he said, well, it's not fair to throw him into that situation. Starkel didn't have a good week of practice. And they didn't think some of his issues were fixed, and they didn't want to throw him out there.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can come up with, because he's part of the future direction of this program. There's no question.
Well, and let me throw in another comparison when you're bringing up the quarterbacks coming in. Because, again, every situation's different. Every quarterback's different. I get it. But in 2006, USC was pounding Arkansas. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Just Robert Johnson couldn't get anything going. They were just, I think it was 44-7.
Yeah, you had 19 fumbles in the first quarter.
Well, that too. But I'm just saying at quarterback, though, you couldn't get anything going.
It. Yeah.
So you bring in a true freshman, Mitch Mustang, when Arkansas is getting hammered.
Late in the game.
Which, you know, if in this.
Most of the stadium had emptied up.
That's right. And the logic is saying, well, you wouldn't want to throw him in that situation. You're getting pounded. But what did he do?
He earned the starting job.
He earned the starting job by leading the team down the field for a touchdown. And whether it's KJ or whoever, I feel like that's a perfect opportunity where there's no pressure. And in a lot of cases, maybe you got the backups of Auburn's defense being in a lot. That's a perfect opportunity
for
you.
If KJ Jefferson does not play in the last four games of the year, that's malpractice. It just simply is.
Just write him up.
Yeah.
Just write him up and move on from it, because that's a fireable offense. That's with cause.
Yeah. Hey, brought to you by the Paint Store in Van Buren. I am a loyal customer of the Paint Store, because anytime we got a project going on, and we've recently been doing a staining project, Sue and the staff over there are so wonderful to help you with samples. We brought in some wood samples of what we were working on, and they stained out a few different choices for us to choose from on the actual material we're using. So we had a really good, true sample of what we were doing on this project we were doing. So if you're looking for a staff that cares about your project, in fact, they called a couple times, how's it going? How's it look? Can you send me some pictures? That's the kind of care and attention you're going to get from a staff at the Paint Store in Van Buren. 1414 Fayetteville Road. They'll keep all your colors, because we got to come back and now match something else up. So the colors that we used, we know exactly what to call and order, because they have it on file. Makes it really easy. They keep that for 10 years. 474-4505. Contractors as well as do-it-yourselfers at home, they'll work with you any way you need to. That's Sue or Vicky at the Paint Store, 1414 Fayetteville Road. Over 30 years of experience at the Paint Store.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Lisa is in Northeast Arkansas. Good morning, Lisa.
Well, good morning. I'm going to try to get to the point and not drag it out, so y'all won't have to run to a break. Has Chandler Morris decommitted yet?
He has not, as far as we know.
Listen, and the writing has got to be on the wall. I had tickets Saturday, several. They're still in here in the drawer, and they'll be thrown away today. I'm not going back to a football. Now, I'm not saying I don't love the Razorbacks. I love them. I want them to win. But this, we've got the wrong coach. And his post-game presser, I had to take one of my nerve pills midway through that thing. No, I'm serious. I had to take a nerve pill, or either that or turn the thing off, and I wanted to see if he would change a few words up. And when I saw the crowd, you know, when we play Auburn, how packed that place is. And it's the only word I can say for the whole thing is sad. Guys, it's sad. Beautiful weekend for football, and I'm stuck home having to watch it on TV and just think of what could have been. And then... Excuse me. What was bad was the announcers for ESPN and the SEC Network making fun of our fake punt and saying what's going to happen at Arkansas. I don't know if you saw that, Tommy, about them commenting on that. It was embarrassing. And all I heard, even at church yesterday, embarrassing, embarrassing. I've heard embarrassing so much, but when your fans, when your students don't show up, I mean, it's just, I don't know how you keep him another game. I mean, put somebody in as head coach and move on, and I'm sort of thinking now I'm interested in the Utah coach. I know he turned Tennessee down last year, a year before, and some more things, but hey, anybody's looking good to me right now. But I'm in the crapper. I'm depressed. And I don't get that way much about Razorback sport, but everything else is pretty good. But I'm so lonesome I could cry. You need to play that country song.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Lisa.
Appreciate it, Lisa. And, you know,
I think you're alone in your sentiments.
No, not at all. And mind my analogy here, but, you know, a few months ago when I got my dog neutered and how he went from his personality before and after the operation, I feel like Razorback fans are in post-op of getting neutered because it just feels like it's just kind of what happened. What is this? I'm just kind of feel weird. I'm sad, but I don't feel different, but I'm sad. It's just a weird vibe right now that Razorback fans have. And I think a lot of it's just because not only of the season, but years and years of this type of stuff happening. And that fake punt still just, I'm still shook from that. I don't even know what to think from that.
That then to say you've been practicing it for 2 weeks.
You didn't practice it enough.
Well, and listen, the coaches didn't draw it up that way, obviously. They didn't execute what they had been practicing, but I'm still trying to figure out what if they had not had it. I mean, I guess the best case scenario would have been an incomplete pass in that deal, because even if they completed, I think they were going to lose yards, but let's get a first down.
Well, they said they were trying to blitz it. They were taking it as if Auburn was going all out to block the punt.
So you're basically going to run a screen.
Yes, essentially, where all the players come in front of you, all the defenders are in front of the punter, and Loif hops it over there, and it should get a wide. But it's like, but they didn't go all out. They didn't come try to block the back. Most of them kind of just stood back as soon as they got close to the umpbacks and said, all right, you know, playing receive, playing blocking. And so you could tell that Auburn player, when we saw the ball, he's like, oh, crap. And he just took it and was like, what in the world happened here? It was just a absolute cluster that was just such a great indication and a summary right there of Razorback football over the past few years.
Hey, this time of year is hectic, and with all the things to do and all the places to go, Southern Tire Mart can help you get there and save you money along the way with America's most trusted tire brands like Michelin and BF Goodrich. Take advantage of Southern Tire Mart's $29.95 oil change. They have that every day for you. It includes a thorough 27-point vehicle inspection as well. It's all at I-540 and Exit 14 in Fort Smith. Stop in for quality Michelin and BF Goodrich tires and the best in-class service. That's where you'll find it at Southern Tire Mart with Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Southern Tire Mart.
Blaine just tweeted in. He says, I feel like this is definitely the end. Lisa is my spirit animal, and I feel like Western Kentucky is just going to put us out of our misery. Would that be the final nail in the coffin? The final just...
That'd be it.
That'd be it right there? I mean, you just can't have those things. But at this point, nothing's guaranteed with this Razorback football program. Let's go back to the phone lines. Rod's on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, guys. Ty's still going to put us out of our misery, is he?
He's 4-0 as the starter for Western Kentucky.
I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, this is kind of what I expected. I said 5-7 earlier than the year. This is going to be worse than that. And the picture of Shine O'Grady staying alone in the left side of the end zone, he throws it away. I thought that just pretty much sums up the season, along with that jump the shark play. That's what they call, I guess, they throw it away up front like that. I sit there and I couldn't believe I could believe it, but I'm like, that can't. My question is simple. If I didn't expect much this year, what do I expect next year?
Even less.
That's my problem.
I mean, I don't see any reason why I believe, Rod, that with recruiting or anything, I just don't see any reason why this would get any better next year, especially with the schedule getting about doubly as difficult. I just don't see it getting any better next year because it's not getting any better this season. This team's not getting better. They're not. I can't think of one aspect of this team where I look and say, you know, that is better after game 7 than it was game 1. Not one thing. And if it can't get better as the season goes on, how in the world is it going to get better in the offseason? I just don't see it, man.
We gave them 2 weeks for this game. What's going to happen? We give them several months. Oh, my God. That could be horrific.
Oh, yeah. It would be awful. But as always, Rod, appreciate your phone call, man. I mean, Tommy, am I wrong in that? Have you seen any aspect of this team that's improved as the season's gone on?
You know, last year, I remember us having the discussion, you know, if the season doesn't go well, the recruiting that they'd gotten off to the good start on could be the thing that you hold on to, the thing you could hang your hat on. Well, season didn't go well. You know, we were talking about last year going into, if you only win 3 or 4, at least you'd have recruiting to talk about. We'll end up winning 2. But what did we hang our hat on? Recruiting, right?
Right.
All right. Well, they went 2-10. But look at this recruiting class, one of the best ones you've had in years at Arkansas. You can see the future. You can see the path out. Well, this year, okay, you may end up going 3-9 rather than 2-10. At best case, it appears possibly 4-8 would be best case scenario at this point.
Best case.
Can't really see 5 wins now. But 5 would probably change everyone's attitude and opinion. But you don't have recruiting to point to right now because it's going, it's done a 180 on you.
Or that's
the
ship.
Appearance. Yeah. And it's not just the players jumping ship. It's the players from that last class that are also leaving you. Players like Devin Bush and the players going into the transfer portal. That's as telling and as troublesome as anything right now. So what do you hang your hat on? Last year you had recruiting to hang your hat on. If things stay this course, what's Chad Morris's pitch to Hunter Yurecek of why a third year is the right move? And listen, changing coaches after 2 years is going to have its problems too. Don't sit here and think that Hunter Yurecek can just go hire somebody and turn this thing around in 2 years again. It's not going to happen that way. Arkansas is in the shape it's in because of the lack of stability. And the reality is you've really not had a lot of stability since Houston Nutt because you had 4 years out of Bobby Petrino, the 1 year with John L., then 5 years out of Bielema, now 2 years. You've changed coaches far too often. You've got to get back to having some stability with this program. And I think the only way to do it is start winning. Now, how do you start winning when you don't have any stability?
Yeah.
You know, it's chicken or egg.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about this, but see, I think stability is overrated in college sports these days. I think that
at a place like Arkansas, I don't know how you win without it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not saying that doesn't have its elements of helping out for sure. But as far as in this, I don't think you can look at it and say, well, we got to keep Chad Morris another year for stability.
Well, yeah.
No, you can't.
No, you don't keep throwing good money after bad. You know, you don't keep doing that. But
you got to know a bad investment and cut your losses.
I agree. But you got to you do have to agree that stability in any organization, football, business, or otherwise, stability without it, you're going to crumble. I mean, you got to have it.
Yeah. No, I think to a certain extent, yes.
And Brett Bielema's undoing was the lack of stability with his staff. That was a big part of his undoing.
Like I said, because I think it was more just about his bad hires after the people left.
Well, but
coaches, assistant coaches leave.
That's exactly
leave,
what I'm saying.
But assistant coaches leave everywhere, Tommy. So assistant coaches are always leaving. Good ones, at least.
Not in the numbers that he had them leaving.
Well, I know it's not a great comparison because he's the greatest coach of all time, but Nick Saban has a new coordinator, it seems like, every single year, and they never really seem to have drop-offs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that it can take you a long way and it can help you out, but I just don't know if it's... Well, I just don't know if that's the main issue here, and you can't look at it and say, oh, we got to keep Chad Morris because of it.
Bielema's no Saban, though. No, that's a newsflash.
Yeah, this just in.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Mark is in Van Buren. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course.
Just a real quick thing. I didn't watch the game this weekend, so I can't really say much on it, but I did see the fake punt from the notification on my phone from ESPN. And that kind of reminded me of Joakim Noah trying to shoot a free throw when they did that punt. But that wasn't the real reason I called in. I called in to ask if, I think it's Melody who's in Harrison, who's mm-hmm. the Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I was asking if she called in yet this morning.
We haven't heard from Melody in quite some time, Mark.
She's been calling the afternoon show, but okay. I hadn't heard from her in a while.
Okay, well, John, I got to ask you this. How about them Cowboys last night?
Hey.
That's all I had to call in and say for guys.
Well, hey, at least you had that going for you, Mark, and appreciate it. Yeah, the Cowboys looked good yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, they did look good last night. A lot better than what they did against my winless and gutless and terrible Jets. So, but, yeah, they got the victory. So, you know, last weekend was bad for the Cowboys, Razorback fans and Cardinal fans and all that, but at least the Cowboys redeemed themselves. So, appreciate the phone call, Mark. We have Clay Henry.
And the Cardinals didn't lose.
They did not lose. They did not lose over the weekend. But we got Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated with us. And, you know, Clay, we were talking in the commercial break dealing with the defense and how, and this is something I also wanted to bring up with you as well, is when I'm looking at the play chart and the drive chart and the scoring plays and all of that, I see and remember that Arkansas, it's like 5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. You're only down 17-3. Now, no two touchdowns is a lot, but if I would have told you that before the game started that, hey, late in the fourth quarter, Arkansas was only going to be down two possessions, I think most people would have felt really good about it. But it's amazing that when you know that fact, that just with 20 minutes of left of game time, you were only down by two touchdowns and you end up losing by 41 points, you end up losing 51-10. It's pretty alarming, but it also shows that Arkansas's defense, I know Auburn didn't play well, but Arkansas's defense was doing a fairly good job of keeping the Razorbacks in this game.
Yeah, I thought that in the middle part of the game, Auburn looked like Gus decided, we're up 17-3, we're going to run the ball. And they couldn't last year. Now, they did pick on, you know, the young cornerbacks, and I think they did catch Bumper Pool in a situation where he couldn't run with one of their faster guys. But it's, there were stretches in the game where they slugged it out with them pretty good. It's just they weren't getting any offensive help. And, you know, they got the three and out coming out of halftime, and Arkansas, you know, you got to score at the end of the first half, and you got to score a touchdown at the end of the second half, and it's a different game at that point. I mean, you can – and then I think you would have the defense to me looked like they held on to the rope for a long time, and then when they gave up the one play, it was like they were – you know, their confidence was shaken. You know, they had done all they could do. And there are times when, you know, on defense, and you look out there, it's like, well, my guys can't score. And that is really frustrating. And nobody's ever going to say that. You know, you're going to say, hey, our job is to throw a shutout. I mean, it's like, well, but I can go back through the years and point to, you know, Arkansas teams that struggled and their defense was pretty good. And then at some point when they realized that, you know, either you don't have a quarterback that can make plays or your offensive line, you know, and in some ways, you know, Arkansas has kind of got the double whammy on that. Their quarterbacks aren't making plays consistently, and they, you know, they can't block well enough to, you know, to make it easy to dial up plays. And I think the defense understands that. Now, by any stretch, they're giving up too much in the secondary. And that's, you know, that's the part, you know, Alabama doesn't have Tua this week, or at least we don't think they will. But that, you know, Mac Jones will have some open receivers to throw to. You know, they've got the bad part last week was you played the best defensive line in college football. This week you played probably the best wide receivers in college football. So that's kind of the flip around where, you know, you have matchups that change from one week to the other. But John, I think you summed it up pretty good, and I guess that was a question to me, and I would agree with what your assessment was.
Yeah, I mean, you just go back and look at Arkansas's offensive drives, and that 8 of the 14 had 3 plays or less. You know, you just never got on track.
You had one drive. That's all there was. There was a 17-play drive for the field goal, and the other was just a 45-yard pass right after the turnover. I mean, there's the highlight was back-to-back plays where you get the strip fumble, recovered on the boundary, and the next play, you know, to Cheyenne O'Grady. Those two plays, you take those away, and there's not much to feel great about in what you saw. And I mean, there were some individual efforts. I mean, Joe Fouché, you know, shooting the gap on
the fourth down play
on the fourth and one, yeah. Getting Gatewood before he got started. That's a great play. And you see flashes from some of the young guys, and then you see sometimes where they get fooled or they get a step out of position and you know, they freeze, not sure. You know, like Soli, at some point he will run down Nix on that boundary play that was a touchdown. And he wasn't sure if he had the leverage or not. And by the time he figured out he did, it was too late. But he's reeling, just getting back, you know, from the broken hand. And he needs 30 pounds. You know, in a normal situation, Auburn wouldn't be playing that guy right now. Alabama would not be playing him. But, I mean, he's going to have to play his way through freshman's mistakes. And he's going to be a good player. There's a lot of that going on. I mean, Ricky Stromberg should not be playing right guard at 275 pounds, but that's what they've got. In the long term, he will benefit from it. But right now, it's not a benefit.
Yeah. What was the? You can give us an update. Because Chad Morris addressed this somewhat after the game, but the situation with Austin Capps on the other side at guard.
Yeah, I mean
his injury.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still just battling that same thing. You know, it's just, you know, he's had a chronic ankle, for I guess his whole career, and then, you know, had the knee surgery. Chad, as far as post game, you don't get any injury updates. I mean, it's every once in a while he looks down like he's got a sheet with something written down, and then he looks back up and he says, "I don't know." There's HIPAA rules, and then there's coaches' rules where I'm going to act like I don't know, even when I do. You know, he's not the only coach that does that. I mean, it's almost like it's part of the coaching fabric that you don't have to talk about injuries because nobody, you know, in the NFL you do, but in college football you do not.
Well, Clay, my thing is, and this is something I know that coaches have to struggle with or have to try to – an obstacle they have to overcome whenever things are going bad for the program. But I guess I just don't know how Chad Morris and this staff can really game in, game out, week in, week out, keep this team motivated and focused and practicing hard and working hard when they're just not having any of the results that come with it. Because I understand that, hey, listen, teams go through tough times. Rebuilds are tough times, and nobody ever wants to go through a rebuild, but sometimes it's necessary. But as I mentioned in the opening of the show, I was watching the hog walk out there, and I could just tell by demeanor on the faces that it's almost like that they had already looked like they had been defeated. It looked like they already lost the game. And I think that there's been times you've seen some plays and some flashes, but I just don't know how Chad Morris can keep this team focused, motivated, and really hitting it back and practicing hard and all that when none of the results are coming their way. I mean, there's been really no positive. There's been no development. There's a lot of indecisiveness that you can't get from whether it's a quarterback situation or whatnot. How is Chad Morris going to keep this team together for the rest of the season?
I mean, that's the challenge. And the players continue to say that their culture is different, that it's not like last year. What do they say? The proof is in the pudding. We'll see. We'll see what November is like. And we've got one more game in October, and no one expects this one to go well. I mean, no one would have expected it to go well even beforehand. I thought Tennessee slugged it out with Alabama pretty good for most of that game until they got a really bad call. They were going to get off the field, one score down, and got a personal foul. The guy kind of pushed the quarterback down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, he pushed him down about 3 inches. It's like that, you know, Alabama gets that penalty, I guess, every time. That Nick Saban would have had all the officials fired if that. But back to your question, I don't go to the hog walk, too often, but when I have, they've always looked stoic. I mean, it's almost like that's the way you're supposed to look coming off the bus. You know, like your mind is just totally, you're in a zone and you just walk by people. And I've heard people say, well, they look like zombies. Well, it's almost like in pregame, that's how you're programmed to look getting off the bus. You know, nobody talks. I've been on those on a bus like that before, and you leave the hotel and nobody says a word. You know, it's just like if you're talking, you're not focused in on the game. And do they have their earbuds in, John? Were they listening to their tunes and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, a few of them did, but I was just comparing it to the one I saw earlier this season. Is all that's all I was comparing it to. And I get you because I know that they're kind of getting in game mode a little bit. But yeah. I was just having to compare it to from one or the other.
But that's what to watch for as far as in to me, and I like. When you can draw up everything you want to as far as great plays and bad plays or whatever, your scheming and game plan. To me, the essence of coaching is, do you get them to practice hard and do you get them to play hard? And you get that every week. And I thought they played, just awful against San Jose. There was no fire at all in that first half. And that was – that's a bad look. And that was, you know, on my play chart or whatever, that's an X there as far as did you coach effort. I mean, and I, you know, looking back, I understand what happened. You know, it's too much celebrating after a mediocre win. I mean, you know, Colorado State, that's nothing to write home about. You're supposed to win that game, right? And then, but I thought they definitely coached effort for Texas A&M. I thought they coached effort against Kentucky. They didn't win. They made, you know, they didn't finish off the game, but I thought they played hard. And for much of the game, let's say the defense, you know, held its own. And the last, you know, it got ugly on that last drive. And I mean, when they realized they weren't going to win the game, that wasn't good at the end as far as effort. I thought by and large that they played hard against Auburn. They were just overmatched. And, you know, we'll see the, you know, going forward. And, you know, everybody's already pointing to the Western Kentucky game. But to me, the Missouri and the Mississippi State games are still where they're not going to be. I mean, they've got, I would say both those teams have more talent than Arkansas, but it's not a huge gap like it was this past week and what it's going to be this week and what it's going to be against LSU. And, you know, can they play hard in those games? And, you know, it's like, well, how do you do that? Well, you know, you measure effort, and if you don't get it, well, then you play somebody else. Yeah. And, you know, there was an obvious attempt to play more players in this game. Now, why? You know, was it, you know, losing Devin Bush, you know, going to the portal? You know, it's like a young guy that doesn't understand why he's not playing when, you know, the nickel back in front of him is struggling. You know, it's like, you know, it's I'm talking about Greg Brooks. You know, there's been times where he's struggled, and Devin Bush is his backup. I didn't, you know, the McClure thing, him transferring, I understand his deal. He's not playing. He probably didn't like the move from the secondary to linebacker. It didn't look like that was a take. And that was probably, you know, desperation. Our depth at linebacker is so bad, we're going to move this guy up. And it didn't work out. So I understood what's he, 26? I mean, he's a former baseball player, yeah, that, you know, been out of the game for a long time. It just never had worked out for him. I don't know where he's going to go to play, you know, what level, maybe UCA or something like that. But it's a good question, John, and that'll be something to watch. Can they hold on to the ropes, as Houston Nutt always loved to say, during a time when it's all going against them? You know,
It's the Monday Morning Quarterback brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma. Take advantage of RV show pricing on hundreds of new models, including Deer Hunter specials under $10,000 and wholesale to the public pricing on dozens of pre-owns. And get the most for your trade. It's all at Crabtree RV in Alma. Exit 13 off of I-40. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true. I'm with you, Clay. It's not just enough to beat Western Kentucky. You've got to play well and win one of these games against Mississippi State or Missouri. Now, I watched a lot of the Mississippi State LSU game. They were very physical with LSU at the line of scrimmage. But the thing that caught my attention with Mississippi State is when they were down and it was going to be a decisive victory for LSU at the end of that game, Mississippi State still kept fighting and playing, and they scored a late garbage touchdown. But they hadn't laid down. They didn't give up. And, you know, to most that doesn't mean anything unless you had maybe a little money on the game. But, you know, the fact that Mississippi State still was trying to take the fight to them late tells me that's a team that hadn't quit either.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see. In November, I say there's teams coming and there's teams that are going. And, you know, an injury here or there, and, you know, it's a realization that you don't have a chance and you don't play nearly as well as you did earlier in the year. And sometimes you'll sneak up on a team. And if you can just hold on to the rope, you know, you know, the tough part going forward is, you know, how many fans are going to hold on to the rope? And, you know, the crowd was down Saturday, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how many are in the stands for, you know, those last two home games, you know, Western Kentucky and Missouri.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Richard Smith is in Fort Smith. What's going on, Richard?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning, guys?
Good. How about you, man?
I'm doing great. A little bit about the game. First of all, John, I saw you at Randall Ford Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
You gave me a couple of great tickets. Oh. The wife told me to tell you thank you very much.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man.
Yes. The game didn't go as well. Man, like y'all were saying, those guys, they were just overmatched. Like we was wrapped up by the sideline on Auburn, and those guys are huge and they're fast. So I guess we'll just keep trying to keep fighting, man. I appreciate you guys, man.
Appreciate you listening in, Richard. Yeah, I know that you were looking forward to the game. I'm sorry the outcome wasn't the one you wanted, but when Clay brought up the fans and how long they're holding on and all of that, I'm just telling you, if that Auburn crowd was not great and you only have two home games left now with Mississippi State and Western Kentucky, if by the final game in Razorback Stadium, if that thing is as empty can be, it's really going to be in bad shape.
And you don't even want to think about this yet, but what could the crowd at War Memorial be like?
Man, I don't even know.
Yeah, one of the things that's really tough, that I can remember talking to Coach Broyles, and the reason you go to the SEC, and he had mentioned, he says SEC road teams, in other words, Auburn in this situation, he said they bring 7,500. Auburn brought about 2,000.
Yeah,
and you're losing revenue all across college football. It's not just what you see at Arkansas. It's everywhere. Yeah. If your team is not just rolling perfect, your stadiums are half full.
Yep.
And they've got a great stadium now. But it's about, okay, I can stay home and watch on my 4G TV. I guess you boys have got 4G TV right now.
4K, but yeah.
4G. It's not 4G. I guess 4G is my phone.
Yes, right. Right.
4K there, Clay.
Okay. Yeah. All right, 4K.
Yeah.
Well, I got 10K TV. Right. That's what
I'm doing. Oh, man. I'm coming to your house for the next week.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
No, I mean it costs $10,000. Oh. That's what it costs.
Still coming to your house if you got a $10,000 TV,
yeah.
Clay.
Well, I'm teasing. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. Yeah.
I get you.
The Southwest Conference got to where none of the teams traveled, and if Auburn won't travel, I mean, it's like, you've got a lot of pressure to just fill the stadium with your fans. I don't know how, Mississippi State will bring, but I bet they don't bring any more than what Auburn brought.
Yep. Well, and then an 11 a.m. start time doesn't help either, because it's just hard.
I would agree with that.
It's hard to get in and out. It's certainly a difficult. It's a full weekend commitment, particularly with an 11 a.m. game. So you got to come in on Friday. You got to take an extra day off. There's no driving into the game on Saturday when it's an 11 a.m. start, particularly from a place like Auburn. So,
you're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Get on a conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. We'll be getting into our best and the worst of the weekend here in just a little bit. But let's go to the phone lines. Randy is in Tennessee. What's going on, Randy?
Morning, fellas. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Well, the comment I got is that, based on what I saw on Saturday, I wasn't disappointed. I'm kind of like with Tommy, where I felt like Arkansas was going to lose, 55-10. That's what I had figured. But it wasn't the fact that they lost by the amount that they lost. I expected them to lose because they were so outclassed on talent. But our defense really hung in there and had a good scheme. It seemed like they had a pretty good scheme for this game, mm-hmm. and hung in there until they were gassed at the end of the fourth quarter there. But what was disheartening is like what Clay was talking about. He saw improvement in our wide receivers. You see improvement with our tight ends and stuff like that. What you don't see improvement in is our quarterbacks. And y'all had said something last week that was really profound. It seems like the ones who get the most coaching are the ones that play the worst. And I remember when I played, our coach used to tell us, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Perfect practice makes perfect. So whatever it is that you practice, that's what you're going to perform. And what you see out of the quarterbacks, and we assume that, you know, the ones that are teaching our quarterbacks is Craddock and Chad Morris. And we're not seeing any improvement in our quarterbacks. Matter of fact, we see regression. And then our scheme, you know, you open up and you know what you're playing against. You're playing against the best defensive line in all of college football. And they're so fast. So you start off with stretch plays and things like that, trying to outrun them on the perimeter, knowing that that's not how you're going to get them. All day long, your 3 to 7 yard pass range is pretty well open, you know, so you might dink and dunk all the way down. But over and over and over again, you keep seeing five-step drop type plays, things that take, you know, 4 seconds to develop, knowing that these guys, that they're speed-oriented. And so it just seems like offensively our scheme, it's almost like they're not watching any film or something, or they don't understand how to attack a defense, and you're thinking, well, your quarterbacks aren't improving, and our game plan has no chance of winning. None. Because it plays right into the hands of the strength of the defense. And so it's not that I'm sad or you know, upset that we lost. I kind of figured we would, but you're disheartened because you feel like the ones that are in charge of the game plan and developing your quarterbacks are, I don't want to say inept, but there's a part of you that kind of feels that way.
Yeah. And listen, I think that everything you said, Randy, is fair. I don't think that there's any reason that fans can't have any sort of criticisms or anything of the coaching staff and some of the developments that they've had. And I think that the quarterback situation, although there's other issues than just the quarterback, of course. But it is just one of those things that you start to wonder of what are these practices looking like? How are they practicing? Is it quality practice? Because we in the media, not to say that if we had open access to all the practices, we'd be able to figure out what's going on. But there's certainly an element of that to where if all you can see is just little these 20-minute sessions where they stretch and do some special teams plays, I just don't think you can get really a good feel on what goes on in these practices. And Clay, you've been covering this team for a long time now, and you've had times where there's been some open practices for a lot of different coaches. I'm sure that it would be very fascinating for anyone in the media to see what goes on in these practices.
Yeah, and I think that what you just said is probably not altogether accurate, because there is at least one team segment in every one of the practices that I've been to. It's not just an individual. They do have a team session, and so you do get to, you can figure out who the starters are, let's put it that way. But I go back to the thoughts of the caller, and some of that I agree with, but as far as the way Auburn was playing, they weren't blocking them inside. To run off tackle was nobody this season has run off tackle against Auburn's front, and you know, nobody's blocked their linebackers, and the linebackers you're having to double three of the four down linemen. You know, they play a 3-4, and so the linebackers are able to shoot the gaps on any running play. And it's just, I mean, nobody's doing anything against that defense, and that's the way it's been for the last 3 years with those defensive linemen. And and their depth is good. You know, so they have recruited well. They're in any doubt why Gus Malzahn stayed at Auburn. I mean, the difference in the players. You know, some people thought, well, he's going to come back to Arkansas. There wasn't any doubt why. You know, when you watched that game, yeah, I thought Ben Hicks actually played pretty good against Texas A&M and against Kentucky. And was he getting you know, the lion's share of the practice snaps? Probably not. But it's, you know, it's frustrating to watch that. And the quarterback play has been inconsistent. I think that's what you can say. Consistently, they've been inconsistent. But as far as judging Ben Hicks with the kind of time that he had in the slant, you know, you might say, well, that's what you dial up in that situation. They played press coverage. They know. They played their safety 15 yards deep and played the corners and the nickel head up right on their nose, and it's like, you know, we're going to jump some of those routes. And it's, that they've got a great defense, and it's one of the best in college football. Nobody scored many points against them. And they've lost one game, and it had to do with their quarterback playing poorly against a great defense, and that was the Florida game.
When you don't have an offensive line that's at least average, yeah, and you have to play in a superior, excellent defensive front like Auburn, your quarterback play's not going to look good. And
yeah, I mean, it's like, say, Tommy, you tell me which one of those offensive linemen you want to run behind consistently, and there's not one. And I mean, it's not their fault. And they've got some young offensive linemen that they're proud of and that they're developing. They're not ready as far as understanding the whole scheme. Limmer and Latham both, I think, will be good players in time. And I think Stromberg, when he adds another 20 pounds, will be a good player. He's okay now, but he's not going to, at 275, he's not going to block one of those 315-pounders. You don't want to run inside behind that. I understand. It's tough.
Well, and I get that. And I think that any type of team that's going to have success against Auburn offensively is going to be a team like an LSU more than likely, or an Alabama if Tua's ended up being healthy by the time they play. So it's going to be tough going up against Auburn. I think it's just the like you mentioned, the inconsistencies at the quarterback position, not being able to find any sort of groove at any point. And then it feels like maybe when you did find one particular groove in a particular game, the next possession, it's just all completely blown up. So it's just all been inconsistent, really, for the Razorbacks in a lot of different elements. And that when you have that, that leads to a lot more frustrations when it comes to the Razorback program. All right, let's go
sure
ahead.
Sure it does.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump right into the best and the worst of the weekend here on the Morning Rush.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
All right, it is time for the best and the worst of the weekend, presented by Sassy's. It's a great place to go in Fayetteville because they have two locations off of College and off of Weddington. Great barbecue options, great burgers, great, great, great catfish. The best catfish from Weddington, as Nick Mason likes to say. They even have some healthy options for you. So a lot of you, even though it is bulking season, which is what we like to call it.
Bulking season.
Bulking season.
We're carving up.
Yeah, you're trying to get in a hibernation mode where you've got to stay warm for the winter. That's okay because they have healthy options over there at Sassy's as well. You know, I actually tried their chili cheese dip as an appetizer, and that was pretty fantastic too, because you know why? Chili and cheese together is just some sort of special combination.
Great start.
To be able to have it. So yeah, you can start off there. Homemade fried pickles, got to get those though. Anytime you go to Sassy's, you got to get their fried pickles as well. So whatever your needs may be, lunch and or dinner, head over to Sassy's with their two locations in Fayetteville, off of College and off of Weddington. There is a few best of the weekends that I would like to get to, but I'll start with my biggest best of the weekend, and I think that is the Razorback basketball game against Little Rock. First off, how the ceremony was handled and how it was done was really a great job. And Hunter Yurecek and the administration deserves a lot of kudos for the handling of it all. I could definitely tell that, you know, Nolan's gets honored a lot and has been honored a lot for various reasons in the past 10 so years and for Razorback basketball. But you could tell that this one meant something a lot more to him, more than a jersey hanging up in the rafters, more than anything else that he's ever gotten. And I think that it showed. And then not only that, but as great as that was and as great as the tributes were, which I thought was funny that, everyone cheered when they saw the highlight video. But when Bill Clinton got thrown up there, there's kind of like, oh, kind of like groans thrown back, which was really funny. It was pretty audible. But it was still cool to see old Slick Willie up there giving his tribute to Nolan Richardson, because you know that they've been great friends. But the best was when Mike Anderson walked in, and I first off that he did it and he showed up, and it was just a few months ago that he was fired from Arkansas, but he showed up, he walked there on the court, and the resounding ovation that he got from the fans was just an awesome moment. And I know that Nolan Richardson won it, and of course getting his name on the court looks good. The signature itself looks good. I think it's going to be fantastic once he really gets going on television. And it's just so awesome to see it all finally happen. People have been wanting it for so long. It's finally happened. It was nice also to see Arkansas play well. I mean, there's still some things, obviously, they have to work on. But to get the victory against Little Rock was great, too. It was just an overall great day at Bud Walton Arena. And for Razorback fans who have been looking for something to feel good about after how horrible football has been, that was a nice little change of pace. So my best of the weekend was everything involved with the Razorback basketball game and the event that happened on Sunday.
Those are good ones. Those were all
you just unanimous, right? All three of us would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. That
was certainly on my list. Some other things I had on my list of good from the weekend. I enjoyed watching Vanderbilt beat Missouri.
Yeah, I did too.
That was a lot of fun for me to watch. So that was good. I don't know if you guys have gotten into it. I'm a little late to this party, so you may be well ahead of me on this. The Saturdays in the South series that the SEC Network has done, I kind of caught up. Fantastic. I've watched the first three. I've got four through, I guess, nine's getting ready to come out. But the first couple of ones on the formation of the Southeastern Conference, watched a few of those yesterday and just really awesome history of the SEC. If you haven't checked that out, do that. That was some of my best of the weekend. But number one may have to go.
Can you?
Yep. Go ahead.
Can you tell me where Suwannee is now?
Wait, I can now. It's South.
I didn't know that. I didn't know anything. I didn't know any of that stuff. That was fascinating.
Yeah, it was interesting stuff in their 1899 season. That was and played. What was it? 5 games in 6 days. And you've yeah, I know just, you like
they
it
went
they
on
beat they
Texas.
Want to,
they just went on a road trip and it's like, "Well, you guys play us. Well, you guys play us." And they whipped them all.
Yeah, including Texas. So that was even better. So, but I guess the best of the weekend was the Sooner Schooner turning over. That was
luckily no one was hurt.
No one was hurt, but how'd that happen? You'd think in today's overprotective world where everybody's worried about things like that happening, there would be some kind of, you know, some administrator somewhere worried about liability and contingent liabilities and injuries and lawsuits, had some kind of policy in place to not let that ever happen again. Like a, you know, they had a governor on the schooner, you know, where well, the horses can't run any faster than this, or, you know.
Oh, it's probably all going to change now.
Oh, I know it. Now there's going to be a meeting and a committee.
A call to action.
Yeah.
So, guys, I was covering the Orange Bowl one time in the Sooner Schooner. I mean, it's like they came onto the field one time when they weren't supposed to, and they got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, 15 yards for the Schooner. I mean, they were getting ready to kick an extra point, and the whistle blew, and they kick it anyway, you know, but they're going to have to re-kick it. And the Schooner comes out. You know, it's like, the official throws his flag. I just like, that is awesome. But, I mean, now as far as it flipping, you know, if you're going to do a U-turn on every time, you're going to flip it at some point. It's just a matter of time.
Fortunately, she wasn't injured, but the lady that was riding on there, she got thrown way up in the air. And it's a wonder she wasn't hurt.
No, that's what I'm saying. The fact that nobody was injured is great, but it was really funny, though.
And the horses just kept on trucking. They didn't slow down a bit.
That's what horses do.
That's right.
That part of it was really funny. All right, Clay, what's your best?
The best, I got to say, Shine O'Grady's catch. I mean, I guess his catch twice.
Yes.
I mean, it's
a
touchdown play. And yeah, I mean, it's like, and just reach out there and grab it and keep on going. It's kind of like the horses, right? You're just going to keep on going.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah. I want to throw another best of the weekend real quick. See Lane Kiffin's tweet.
Yeah, well, which one? The one he got fined for?
The one he got fined for.
Yeah, with the officials.
He apparently did not have a very good he didn't have a very good showing from the officials in his mind for the Conference USA. So he just tweeted at Conference USA and a picture of referees with I guess with their CNI dogs and their canes and all that.
Yeah, he got fined $5,000, and I saw some quotes from his post game press conference. He was asked to comment on the officiating. He said, "Well, I don't know if we get fined in this league for that." And he said, "I see my associate AD in the back shaking his head, and so I'm not going to say anything, but I can't get fined because I used to have enough money to get fined, and I don't have any money anymore, so I'm not going to get fined."
Brutally honest about
that. Yeah, he was really honest about it.
But then he ended up tweeting about it. So I guess he didn't say anything. Well, he tweeted about it.
Then he tweeted. He goes, "I guess we have freedom of speech, but not freedom to tweet," or something of that nature.
Yeah. So I thought that was.
Yeah.
That was
Will Muschamp called the officials gutless.
Yeah, I saw that too.
The guy that called unsportsmanlike. He said he called it from 40 yards away. Well, you could pretty well call that one from anywhere. Yeah. You know, as far as he was upset at the series of calls on that drive.
Right.
But he's like, "Come put the flag in front of me." I probably did the right thing by penalizing him from 40 yards. Because if he'd run put it at his feet, Will would have slugged him.
Yeah, that would have been That would have been the icing on the cake for that. Real quick, my worst of the weekend. I mean, just I got to do that fake punt. That fake punt attempt. It went viral. That's the second.
And you're cherry picking, John.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's just what happens when you come first. But I just thought that with that situation that they were in. Again, if it's because here's the thing about fake punts or anything like that. If they work, they're incredible. If they don't, they're absolutely abysmal. Like there's never any middle ground. Of like, no, I like that play, just didn't execute. But it was like, I mean, it was 4th and 11, and you're on your own 41-yard line. And it just looked awkward. And I'm sure that if Auburn would have sent the house like it was expected, if they would have sent the house to try to block the punt, and then maybe, just maybe, it would have worked out okay. But just the look of it is awful. And that's, you know, back-to-back years of having just absolute terrible special team gaffes that go viral and that people are laughing at and making fun of, and you're going to be on SportsCenter not top 10 for, and all those things. It's brutal. It's just adding more fuel to the fire of Razorback fans and their embarrassment of what's going on right now. So I got to throw that in. That was just absolutely horrendous. And it looked, I'm sure, a lot worse than what it was supposed to look like. But the fact that not only did you throw it, but then the guy picked it, it was all bad. So I got to go with the fake punt.
Can I go with one more best of the weekend I forgot to put in there that needs to be in there?
No, I don't know, Tommy. I sure
that has to be the ending of the Astros-Yankees game. Do you guys see this?
Oh, man.
A walk-off homer to end the game from
Altuve.
From Altuve. But the Yankees had hit a homer in the top of the ninth. Two homers in the ninth to end the ALCS. That was really one of the best things I saw Saturday night was that.
And karma, because the Yankees were chanting, you know, blank you, Altuve, or whatnot throughout the game. So when he is able to do that, that was a nice little thing for him, too. So, yeah, that was a great
I had that
moment
on my list.
That was great.
Should have put that in there, but don't talk enough baseball. That was an unbelievable ending to a game where I'm really glad the Astros won because I just don't like the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does. Or let me just put that back. Yankee fans like the Yankees, but most people root against the Yankees if you don't.
And I'm with you. The worst of the weekend, you went with the punt. I'll go with just the crowd. I mean, and I don't blame the fans. The fans have no other option but to voice their disdain and their frustration by not showing up. That's the only thing that will get administration's attention when you're not happy about the situation your program's in. But I think it's just sad that this program that's had a lot of pride over many decades has just really fallen to where it's at over the last 5 to 7 years. And it pains me to watch what's going on and to see a beautiful facility that seats over 75,000 people only being used one out of two seats. It just pains me.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look good on any front. It doesn't look good on TV. And I know that people keep saying about it, well, how could recruits come to Arkansas and they see the fans, nobody in the stands or anything like that? Again, I don't blame the fans, man. If I understand that some of you who bought season tickets already, you already invested financially, but a lot of people just don't want to be invested with their time. They don't want to spend their entire Saturday going and watching that or tailgating that or anything like that. I had a good time. It was nice. It was nice weather and all that. But still, I get why people don't want to do that. But Clay, just hold tight. We'll get to your worst of the weekend. We're up against it. We'll get to that, as well as your SEC update here on the other side of the break.
Brought to you by Burton Pools and Spas. The warehouse sale is on now through the 28th of October. Brand new Hot Springs hot tubs are at no interest for 60 months, or get an instant rebate of $2,700 on every hot tub in stock. It's on sale right now. So savings up to $2,700 or no interest for 60 months during the warehouse sale. Plus, it doesn't end there. They've got outdoor living furniture and a lot of other things that they got to clear out before the winter months set in to make room for all the 2020 inventory that's on the way. The warehouse sale now through the 28th of October at Burton Pools and Spas in Springdale and in Fort Smith. Burton Pools and Spas is your source for backyard fun.
If you want to get on the conversation, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Not only do I want to get an SEC update, but also talk about the biggest blow to Alabama and their football team with losing Tua, not necessarily for the whole season, but definitely for an extended period of time.
Got them right where we want them.
Yeah.
Got them right where we want them.
Yeah, Mac Jones for Heisman. We'll get to all that more on the other side.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I am sorry, but I just get complete. I'm getting hammered by people about Houston Nutt coming back. And I want to know what world am I living in? Did I get in some alternative reality? Is things that bad where it's just people are begging for Nutt to come back?
You think about the last time Arkansas had consistent, stable success. consistent might be a bit of a problem.
But, a little bit of a stretch.
Well, I mean, but the last time you had stability within the program was Houston Nutt. You had 4 years with Petrino, 1 year with John L. as a kind of an interim year. And a lot of ups and downs in the 5 years with Brett Bielema, who had no stability with his staff. Things have not been what I'd call just stable with Arkansas football since Nutt left.
No.
So, I just like Houston Nutt, head coach, Bobby Petrino's offensive coordinator. I mean, Houston will probably be fine with that, right?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure Bobby would be fine with that, too, not being a head coach and letting somebody else call the shots. Mm. Sounds like a sitcom just ready to happen.
You think Bobby would
let Bobby call the plays?
You think Bobby would be okay with someone else being in charge?
No, I don't think that would be okay.
That's what you said.
I was being sarcastic. There's no way.
I wasn't picking up on your sarcasm there.
No. We all know how that would end. Jeez, you could switch the roles and it still would not work out. Houston Nutt would not be Bobby's offensive coordinator. To get the whole gang back. Any other former coach that you could throw in there? Former assistant coach.
Keith Burns.
Yeah, get Keith Burns.
Reggie Herring.
The Murray State Mafia back together. Reggie Markison.
No, I want Willie Robinson.
Willie?
Reggie. Okay. Reggie tweeted, said he was glad to see that fake punt. They got him off the hook for the worst fake punt in Arkansas history when he called the fake punt, then timeout, then came out and ran it to the other side with another fake punt.
Ran to the other side.
In the Cotton Bowl. Yeah, he's now off the hook for the worst fake punt call in Arkansas football history.
I can't believe he was proud of that.
Reggie's my favorite quote after the slaughter out at Southern Cal, and he's sitting on the curb, and I'm interviewing him, and he goes, at some point in my life, I'm going to be working on a garbage truck, and I'll be on the back holding on to the little handle, and on the side of the garbage can, it says, this guy gave up 77 to SC. I was like, I couldn't write it fast enough. I didn't have a tape recorder. I was just like, this is an awesome quote. And he looked up to me, and he says, you need to repeat that? I want to make sure you got it right. He knew it was a great quote, too.
Wow. Yeah. Well, fun fact, Reggie Herring is still the linebackers coach at the Denver Broncos. Yeah. So, hey,
I bet he didn't call any more fake punts, though.
He's not on the garbage truck yet.
He's not on the garbage truck yet. He is still around, that is for sure. All right, let's jump into your SEC update here on the Morning Rush.
Somebody said we've got SEC bias. Deal with it. They're the best.
In the SEC, it just means more.
I know one thing. The SEC just got a little tougher.
This is your SEC update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your SEC update presented by Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear.
Yeah, those cold days of winter are just around the corner. You need a Carhartt coat, Carhartt jacket, insulated bibs, and Carhartt vest, jeans, shirts. You got work to do, and it's outdoors. For all the working men and working women, this is your paradise at Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. Everything Carhartt is there, from work boots to work accessories, and the full line of Carhartt you'll find at Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. Plus, on the other side of the store at Ozark Sportsman Supply, firearms, gun safes, archery, fishing supplies, and the largest selection of accessories in Northwest Arkansas. And don't forget their gun range, 15 lanes of awesome target practice, all in a temperature-controlled indoor environment. Why go anywhere else? It's all at the Ozarks. Ozark Sportsman Supply and Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. Highway 412, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
Kind of a weird weekend for SEC football, but Alabama beat Tennessee 35-13. Not necessarily weird that they won by that margin, but what was kind of crazy is that Tua goes out with an ankle injury and had to have surgery to repair it. Now, they have not said the full-fledged timetable of when he will be back. They say they're hopeful for he's back against LSU, but we know for a fact he is going to be out against Arkansas this weekend.
Here's what we know. This is the same kind of injury he had last year in the SEC championship game, and he had the same procedures on the other ankle, the tightrope procedure.
Yep.
And I saw some retweets from some doctors that had put it out, and basically they go in and they're pulling together the two bones in your lower leg and pulling those ligaments in there so that it's more stable. Now, all of that being said, what we do know is he still admitted how many days was that later, from the SEC championship to the college football playoff? He wasn't 100% then.
Mm-hmm.
So, Clay, I don't see any way this guy's going to be – he says he's like 80% then, so he was probably even stretching that. Now, he played well. He's like 24 or 27 in that game. Played very well. I don't know how he can even be 50, 60% of it if the injury's as severe in just a couple of weeks. I know Arkansas got a break.
Yeah, it sounds like a a pipe dream to play against LSU.
Yeah, it does to me too.
I don't. I mean, it's how do you throw on a bad ankle? And that's going to be critical. And the other part about it is you don't want to risk him being hurt further if he's not doesn't have his mobility. So I think you'll see going forward the last part of the season. You know, they're probably still going to get into postseason, I would guess. But having him for Auburn would be more legitimate to me.
Yeah. Well, even with Tua's injury going out, I think we talked about this early in the show. It's just unfortunate. Like, if you were Arkansas and you had a good team together, at least a decent team, this might be your best shot to go against Bama, because not only are they missing their best quarterback, but their defense has been suspect a lot this year. Not to say Alabama's not good even without Tua. Not to say that. I'm just saying that those are the types of situations you got to find yourself in if you ever want to beat a team like Alabama.
Tells you what Vegas thinks when the line opened at 35 without Tua.
Yeah, they knew for a fact Tua was not going to play.
It was already known fact. Saban had already issued the statement. In fact, if you stayed up and watched the game, it was an 8 o'clock game, so it was really late when it got over. It's one of the, other than a couple of West Coast games, there was nothing else on. And, you know, he was pretty honest about it. And I mean, obviously, this was a story they were covering. But then Sunday morning, they issued a statement that he had underwent the procedure and all of these things. So Vegas knew it when they put the line out, and it was still 35.
Yeah, that's brutal. That is absolutely brutal. But in some other games, real quick, from the SEC, Vanderbilt ended up beating Missouri 21-14. Now explain something to me. So Missouri, they had that bad loss against Wyoming really to start the season.
First game of the
year. Yeah. Sad, a bad loss.
It was a road loss.
And then people were like, okay, that's just horrible. But then they got it going a little bit. They started getting things back on track. And I know Kelly Bryant was going through some injury stuff. But then you lose to Vanderbilt like that. Well, that's a bad, because Vanderbilt is an awful SEC team as well.
This was the first time Missouri, since the Wyoming game, had played away from home. And Vanderbilt, did you watch any of this game?
I just got to see the highlights.
I did, yep.
They just physically took it to them. And they kind of knocked Kelly Bryant around a little bit. I'm kind of with you, Clay. Kelly Bryant may not make it to the Arkansas game.
He takes an awful lot of shots.
He does.
And he does in the open field, he doesn't slide. He is going to take on guys. And he's got that macho deal that I think I can run over a guy because I'm 225, I'm 230. Yeah, you will run over some, but somebody's going to hit you and your shoulders are going to take a beating. He doesn't look the same. And he's had some hamstring problems, too. So, you know, I think that
he's wearing a knee brace,
Missouri's got some injuries on defense, too.
Yeah, and Kelly Bryant was their leading rusher as well. So, I mean, taking 16 carries, which means he got hit 16 times. So, that's never something you want to see. But those are really the big games. Of course, A&M is one of those weird teams, too, that's hard to figure out as well.
Did y'all watch any of Kentucky, Georgia? That was a scoreless halftime. Now, it was raining and kind of a nasty environment. Georgia pulled away, obviously, to win that one late, but looked like Georgia was on the ropes a little bit again for a while, and that Kentucky, without, you know, with Bowden again at quarterback, was kind of rolling again in the first half. Didn't get to the end zone, but they had Georgia in a scoreless tie at halftime.
Well, Bowden,
yeah, Kentucky's pretty good on defense. Yeah. That's the obvious thing.
Yeah, well, Bowden went 2 of 15. Yeah. Passing 17 yards.
Well, he's not a passer.
Yeah, but only rushed for 99 yards on 17 carries. But yeah, so that's, I guess he is human after all when he goes up against a really good defense in that regard. So yeah, that was a good game too. Florida barely beat South Carolina 38-27 in that game as well. And LSU beat Mississippi State 36-13. So, I mean, pretty much other than the Missouri Vanderbilt game, that's pretty much status quo. I still can't figure out A&M though. I know they beat Ole Miss 24-17, but yeah, they just kind of look like a team that I felt like would be better this year than what they were last year, at least the same, and they're just not showing it.
They don't have
a running game, and it puts a lot of pressure on Mond's, their best running threat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Who was the? I don't remember who the color commentator was, but I was watching that game, and the quote of the night was at A&M talking about Jimbo. You're paying for steak, but you're getting a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a pretty good line. Because, you know, paying $7.5 million a year, you're expecting more than what they're turning in right now.
That's absolutely true. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. I got a couple callers here at the last minute. Robert's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys. Real quick, I watched Baylor this weekend. I'm going to get to it real quick. But Baylor, several years ago, only won two games. They had a sex scandal. They won six games after that. Now they're 7-0. I know they're in the Big 12, but if they can get it done at Baylor, we ought to be able to get it done. And I'm not saying 7-0, but I only think this to win five games. He can't even win five games, and you know, in the non-con, and their non-conferences are horrible too. And it just blows my mind that these programs are getting it done and we can't. I'm just, you know, please, let's not just go back to the conference because he's not even in the conference. So I'm just with the sex team my internet.
Yeah, well, appreciate the phone call, Robert, and I get you.
I watched a lot of that game, too.
There's a lot of times where if you see teams that are not, that you feel like you should be a better program than or went through worse situations than what you went through that are taking those next strides a little quicker than what you are, it gets frustrating. I get it. And Baylor's one of those examples. I mean, did they go 0-12, I believe, the year after, if I'm not mistaken? So Matt Rhule's got them going, but, you know, it's got to be frustrating. I get it for Razorback fans. Real quick, Clay, I know you wanted to give a shout-out to the women's cross-country team for Arkansas and their performance up at Nuttycombe. Is that right?
Yeah, Lance Harder, they went up there. They're ranked number one, and they went against a nationally strong field and dominated. And, you know, it sets up good for them the next month. The SEC's coming up, and I think they'll do well all the way through nationals. They're a threat to win a national championship in cross-country. Really, really strong team.
Well, hey, they're track capital of the world for a reason at the University of Arkansas. By the way, real quick, we got a final text. Chad in Paris said, Tommy, if A&M's paying for steak and getting hamburger, we're paying for hamburger and getting a bologna sandwich. That's what he compared it to. So great one there as well. Well, appreciate everybody listening into the Morning Rush. Clay, have a great week, man. We'll
Thanks,
be catching
guys.
Up with you on Friday. For Tommy Kraft and Clay Henry and Matty T, I am John Neighbors. Same sports show, same sports channel, tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everybody. We will see you then.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.